So right before the show today, Merrick, Matty Brown says, I don't even know what Reddit is. What's Reddit?
I'm supposed to be the Luddite on the show. I'm supposed to be the guy that doesn't know things. Now, having said that, I'm supposed to do a Reddit. Oh, man, various people have tried to get me to do Reddit AMAs before, and I've always said that I'd do it, and then I never find the time to do it. But, hey, Greg, how do I do a Reddit AMA?
Well, it's simple.
Because I don't know.
They ask you questions and you respond to them in kind during a portion of the day. What is this for? Like,
does someone need to set this up? Can I just go and set it up myself on Reddit? Is there like a general manager that filters questions, or is it the wild, wild west?
It's the wild, wild west, but you choose what to answer. As far as who should set it up, I'm talking to a man that has been fitted for suits each week for the last 3 months. Are you telling me there's nobody there that could set up a freaking Reddit AMA for you?
I kind of like it better when it's just people that we meet through the podcast that do stuff with us. I'm not a huge – I mean, I did a bunch of what's that Gmail service? Hangouts. Did a couple of Hangouts, one with Ryan Getzlaff, one with Scotty Upshaw. And it was all done through Sportsnet, and it was all very corporate and very nice, and there were lovely conversations. But it just didn't – you know, it kind of felt like TV. It didn't actually feel like a real thing. You know what I mean? Felt like it was a TV conversation as opposed to a real conversation. So I'd rather just do it with someone that listens to this podcast. So what? Essentially, what I'm saying is, will someone set this up for me?
Yes, I think we could probably find somebody, because after all, we did have somebody set up our official subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/MVSW. You could find our official subreddit now and, you know, discuss the show with other listeners and answer the QOD if you are so inclined, although there's other ways to do that as well. The QOD today, by the way, is who are your favorite hockey siblings outside of the Hansons? I wanted to make sure we got that out first, you know. No Hansons.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to say, these guys, picture of the Hansons.
Guys with the glasses, put on the foil, coach. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
All right. Is you and me talking about our brand new subreddit area kind of like, you know, your mom discovering Facebook 6 months ago?
No, I think there's a lot of people that don't have their own subreddits. It'd be like, you know, it'd be like my mom discovering Pinterest now, more like that. Right on the edge of the wave as it crests.
I just like to know how far behind I am. I mean, I know I'm behind. I just want to know how far behind.
Do you have your own Facebook page?
I do.
Here you go.
Early adopter there.
Have you ever used an app before on your phone?
Yes, I have used an app before.
Do you have apps on your phone? Does your phone flip open?
No, but you know what? I still think that's cool. Like, I wish, like, I got the S Plus, the iPhone. But every time I see, like, an old school guy or gal with the flips, actually, Dana White still has a flip, I think, from UFC. I always kind of think, like, man, that's still the coolest look for a cell phone. Don't you?
Well, yeah, well, there's a part of me that does, only because of, like, the old school sci-fi Star Trek aesthetic of flipping the communicator
There was something so cool about flipping open your phone that's just gone now. This S Plus is essentially a tablet. This thing's freaking huge.
Ruby and I have talked in the past about compiling all of the references in hip-hop to technology that no longer exists, like beepers. Because hip hop is always like a chronicle of everything that that money can buy, you know, the stuff that's acquired by the privileged, beepers and call me a Maselli and all that stuff.
You know what?
So it's like an entire 30-40 year span of tech that's now obsolete, chronicled by rap songs.
You know what song I heard in the gym yesterday? Out of nowhere, boom, the Thong Song. When did the Thong Song come out? Is it hilarious?
That's gotta be late 90s. Hang on here. Thong Song.
When's Thong Song come out? You remember that sucker?
Let's see here. Thong Song. Oh, God. My fat fingers taped in Thing Song. Thong Song.
When?
By Cisco, as you know.
Yep.
Can you want to guess the year?
I'm going to guess 98.
Come. Oh, so close. 98 was your guess. As you know, Cisco's single What These Bitches Want came out in 2000. But Thong Song was 1999.
It's 99. Oh, okay.
Now here's the second question. Right. How high did it climb the charts in the United States on the top 100 chart?
Number one with a bullet.
Number three. How high did it climb on the Canadian pop charts?
Number one like a teabag.
Number two.
Oh. So we're one better than you, clearly.
It tracked higher in Canada than in the U.S. Oh, yeah. Fucking Thong Song. Cisco, right?
Canadians love their thongs up here, man. We're all over it. We're all over the early adopters in the thongs.
Although the song in Canada was known as Thong Song parentheses Beaver Tail for some reason.
Does anybody still even wear thongs anymore?
Of course, Merrick. What, are you out of your mind?
I don't know. I've been out of it for so long. I have no idea.
Yes. People wear thongs all the time.
They do?
I mean, like, as an undergarment at the beach as well? Yes. Thongs are a thing.
Still.
Thongs exist. As long as there are asses, there will be thongs, sir.
As long as there are asses, there will be anal floss. Yeah. Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong, sir, but, you know, I don't think asses are going anywhere. Unless there's a gigantic leap in evolution for humans.
Yeah. Really, I kind of thought that would have passed on by now. I don't know. I have zero clue. I just ask because I just don't know. Like I said, like I need to know how far behind the curve I am. Whether it's technology or women's undergarments.
The show is creeping close to obscenity right now, and we need to watch out for that, Merrick. For if we are obscene, we will get fined by the National Hockey League.
Oh, I know. We can't.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't want to know what I'm doing right now with my right hand.
Oh, no.
Over near the microphone now. Rogers is going to find
Milan me. In Milan Lucic's defense, And by the way, we, of course, are talking about him getting a $5,000 fine from the National Hockey League for an obscene gesture made towards Montreal Canadiens fans last night in the Bruins 6-4 loss at Bell Center. In his defense, what he was doing with his hand, he probably thought it was low enough and with his back to the ice that it would be undetected that he was making the universal sign for wank off at the Montreal fans. Yeah.
It was an interesting. I would have loved to have heard the conversation between Mike Murphy and Milan Lucic over this one. Milan, what exactly was that? Like, honestly, if you want to talk about plausible being able to deny plausible deniability, I guess is what it's called, Jeff. Could he have just said he was adjusting his jockstrap and that was it? Guys do it all the time. A little cup check.
So, what were you doing with your hand there, son?
Oh, that was me adjusting my jock.
Yeah. What would you have said? You're Milan Lucic, because that would have been my defense. Nah, I was just adjusting my jock.
Water in the glove.
Water in the glove. Oh, the old water in the glove defense, eh?
I was trying to shake the sweat out my glove.
But again, like. Here's the thing. Listen, we all know a guy making the jerk off motion is getting a fine. Okay, the range that we've established in this league is that if you flip off fans, it's like 2,500. Although that was under the old CBA, it's probably 5,000 now. If you pantomime oral sex to Sean Avery, that's two games. That's the high end of the scale.
It's like $100,000 for Wisniewski.
Yeah, if you make the jerk off motion to the fans, it's a $5,000 fine, time served, right? It's about right.
I'm still back there on the conversation. Like, don't you want to hear that conversation between two grown men? Like between Mike. Yeah. First of all, I'm just thinking if I'm Mike Murphy, I'm like, okay, I gotta call him. Why do I need to be calling this hockey player to ask about him pantomiming masturbation at the Bell Center? Like, you think to yourself, you know, I remember being a young hockey player growing up and wanting to play in the NHL. And then my career was done. It was life behind the bench and now with the NHL brass. And this is what my life has become. It's almost like I remember talking to Tom Billington, who wrestled as a Dynamite kid once. And we were talking about drug testing at WWF. And he said it was hilarious because everyone used to torture Nick Bockwinkel. Nick Bockwinkel, in my estimation, was one of the best wrestlers of all time. Fantastic wrestler.
Yes.
And he was an agent.
Sound wrestler. Oh, but,
yeah, 100%. And, like, great charisma. Was AWA champion for a number of years. Him and Ray Stevens had a great tag team for a number of years as well. But, so he was
Ray
an
Stevens,
agent.
Ray Stevens, the novelty song singer who did the streak?
No. Oh, this is Ray Stevens, a cigar-chomping guy from California. Had the big cannon bomb. Okay. Oh, no, flying knee drop off the top rope.
Oh, I see.
So, Bockwinkel is an agent for WWF, and Dynamite tells me that he said that he used to torture him because it was his job to watch the guys pee. And so Dynamite, to make sure that the drug test, because Hogan would have Howard Finkel whiz for him, right? That's how Hulk passed all of his drug tests. The Fink would piss for him. He said he would torture him by saying, look at you. It could be having a squirt, and Bockwinkel would have to stand there, and it was his job to stare at his junk.
Howard, what are you doing over there? I'm urinating for Hulk Hogan.
He would torture and say, look at you, world champion, watching me piss.
Right?
So if you're Mike Murphy, aren't you saying to yourself, I don't remember this being part of the job description. I really don't want to have this conversation.
Isn't it amazing that back in the day, like, you think about how things have advanced. Like, a scant, what? By the way, someone on the Reddit already said I said scant too much, so I'll try to not say it as much. But here we go.
Oh, is Reddit going to be like
10 years
audio
ago,
audit for us?
Yeah, a scant 10 years ago, it was get your buddy to pee for you. And then in the last 10 years, we've really made leaps and bounds in the development of fake dick technology to be able to beat drug tests with the pseudo-phallus that some athletes have used. Packing it with their buddy's pee. Remember that? Remember there was a guy in the NFL, I think it was, who got caught with a
that's
fake
right,
dick
yeah.
in order to beat
fake
a drug
sausage.
Test?
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. You really got to go out the door and around the block. Well,
the
see, again,
that's my, what it was called, the Wizinator.
My knowledge of fake dicks and women's undergarments is embarrassingly bad. So we've established so far on the program today. I'm sure our guest today can't wait to come on the program to follow this one. All right.
As we inch towards hockey here, inch by inch. First of all, let's be honest, and I've said this before on the blog, I'll say it again here. The more offensive thing is the cup raise that he did, right? More versus any kind of feigned masturbation. To be the guy who is trying to taunt Montreal fans about winning a Stanley Cup.
If you're Milan Lucic, you can do that in Vancouver. I don't know that you can do that in Montreal. I mean, Montreal is a team that can honestly say, hold on a second here, there's no such thing as the original six. There's an original one, that was us. Everybody else in the league is an expansion team to us. So, don't know that you can do the fake raising the cup to Montreal.
I had an NHL player Twitter message me, by the way, this morning, talking about that and saying, I don't think Buster Posey will be mocking the Yankees anytime soon. This is the truth. There's not going to be a Red Sox that walks into, Yankee Stadium. And it's the same principle. You got one. They've got 24.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, bringing it closer to hockey, what did you think of the hit on Emelin? Did that deserve to be a penalty?
First of all, yes, I thought it. Given the history between the two, given what Lucic had said before, given the fact that you could see this is a frustrated hockey player, and man, something's off with Lucic. I know he's coming off for a surgery, but in that first period, he missed Emelin by a mile on a body check. There was a play in front where everybody was jabbing at the puck, and that's really where Lucic should dine out. He stood off to the side of the crease and stared at the puck like he was, Brian Propp. Waiting for the puck to squirt free so he could slap it home. No, dude, that's not your game. Your game is to, turn your stick into a javelin and start poking at things. It was a penalty. Did he turn his back a little at the last minute? Yeah, maybe. It's still that hit from behind from the boards, given the animosity between the two teams, and specifically given the threats and animosity between Lucic and Emelin, I'm cool with the call. The only thing that bugs me was a one-goal game at that point. That's a tough call to make when it's a one-goal game. That's the only part of me is like, if it's borderline, it's a one-goal game, let it go. But I was fine with it.
He clearly released the puck. Lucic clearly wanted to finish his check because he hates the guy. He 100%. Clearly turned his back. These are all facts, but they all add up to it being a penalty. That's the issue. Yeah. And it was a stupid-ass penalty to take at that point in the game with your team down to buy a goal. Because the thing about Lucic is this. Like, unless he's completely – maybe he is. Maybe he's not self-aware. It's possible he's not self-aware to not understand that at this point in his career, he is going to be a magnet for reputation calls. Just a magnet for it.
Oh, yeah.
You well, especially listen, the guy's back turning you, you're getting a penalty every time.
Especially in that environment that night. Opening night, you know, Bell Center, Montreal's up, the place is going crazy. The whole evening's being billed as will Milan Lucic get his revenge against the Montreal Canadiens. I know a lot of eyebrows were raised when Michel Therrien didn't dress Dale Weiss. And half the audience was like, oh, come on, man, you can't chicken out that way. And the other half was like, well, you know what, at least Therrien doesn't want to turn this into a circus tonight.
He was trying to save Weiss's life. I mean, someone threatened to murder him.
I mean, eventually those two will be on the ice together one day. You know, like you can get it over early, or you can have a few more restless nights.
Oh. Well, let's get to the rest of that later. Also, Game Show Friday coming up as well. But we've got a guest, sir, a special guest, and his name is Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and he's of the Chicago Blackhawks, and he joins us now on the Merrick vs. Krzyzewski podcast. Hello, Trevor. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, sir. Trevor, you came back from a horrific broken ankle. Did you think during the summer that you'd be a Chicago Blackhawk at season's beginning?
Yeah, it was a pretty tough time when I broke my ankle there, and then going into the summer, I knew I had a lot of work in front of me, and luckily I had the ability to work out with James all summer and kind of follow his lead, so I think that definitely helped. And yeah, I don't think I set too many expectations coming into camp. I just wanted to just kind of shake off the rust in that rookie tournament and then give my best showing I could in camp, and it's gone pretty well so far.
I want to talk about your brother in a couple of moments, but I do have to ask you, I'm a big fan of Nicholas Chalmerson. I think a lot of people are. What's it like playing with him? What's he like as a D partner?
It's just awesome. He's just so calm with the puck, always makes a great breakout pass. If the puck's on his stick, you're almost never going to end up bogged down in your own end. He's just great positionally, great gap. So, yeah, he's just a lot of fun to play with, makes it really easy on me. I'm always in the right spot and giving me an outlet if I need it. So, and he's been great just talking to me and letting me know, giving me little pointers. So it's been awesome.
It was really impressive. I was reading an interview with your agent that he did with ESPN Chicago. It was really impressive to see how aggressive the Blackhawks were in kind of recruiting you. What was that process like for you when you were had a bunch of teams in the hunt for you after New Hampshire, and what did Chicago do that really kind of made you impress with them?
Throughout the whole process, they showed a lot of interest, and the things they were telling me and the way their style of play definitely fit to my style of play, and yeah, they definitely had a good amount of interest, and talking to them, I felt comfortable with them, and I know they do a great job of developing players, whether it's up in Chicago or down in Rockford. They got great staff, great resources, so I knew that I had some growing to do, and Chicago would be a great spot to do it.
You know, Trevor, as you all know, your head coach, Joel Quenneville, was a pretty solid defenseman, played 800 or maybe 900 games in the NHL, and Joel Quenneville, what does he talk to you about the position?
Yeah, he's just always giving small pointers, getting on me about moving the puck hard and make sure you're making hard passes. Just, there's a lot less room out there, and there's soft plays generally don't work. So, yeah, he's just always giving me small pointers and helping me out in certain situations, telling me how to play certain different situations as they pop up, and making me feel the most prepared I can be. So he's been awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty good decor you're joining there. What's been like the most eye-opening thing about the players that you've played with, that you've been with in camp and everything else? Anybody that you used to just watch on TV and then you see him in person, you're like, wow, I had no idea how good this person was?
Yeah, I think just all of them, obviously, are great defensemen. Obviously, Duncan Keith, Seabrook, Oduya, John Wilson, by all the guys that we've been and Rosie, all the guys have been great, and just being with them in practice, you just see how consistent they are there, always making good plays, always bringing the intensity, and just, I think maybe just because I've been playing with them, but yeah, Nicholas Jarmelson, just the things he does, making some of those plays to break the puck out right up the middle, right on guys' tape. So, yeah, I think just playing with him, I've gotten to really see all the great things that he does, and he's been wow, he's a really good player.
As we all know, Chicago's a highly skilled team. You know, whenever Alex Kovalev was on a team, teammates would always say he's such a fun guy to watch in practice because he can do things that'll drop your jaw. Who's that guy for the Blackhawks that you've seen? Maybe it's Hossa, maybe it's Kane, who knows? Who's the one guy in practice that you sometimes just can't take your eyes off because he does the craziest stuff?
Yeah, I think you hit it there. I think obviously Pat came there, has some great hands, and Hossa too, just the way he always seems to come up with the puck, and Johnny Taves too, just they're all just pretty awesome to watch and pretty special, just the things they can do and their ability with the puck and how they always end up with it on their stick. It's maybe you think, oh, it's just a lucky bounce here and there, but when you see it every day in practice, you know it's them doing something. It's their ability that's getting the puck on their tape.
All right, Trevor, there's two things you need to know about me. One is that I'm a Devils fan, and the other is that I grew up in Mattawan, a scant neighboring town to Middletown Township in New Jersey. Now, I know for a fact that your brother is a traitor, and he grew up a Ranger fan. Did you also were you also a traitor to your state and grew up a Ranger fan as well?
Yeah, I hate to break that to you, but yeah, we all grew up sitting in the living room with our dad there watching the Rangers play, so hate to say that to you, but yeah, we grew up Rangers fans.
Did you get that from your dad? Was that your dad that poisoned your brains like that?
Yeah, you'll have to bring it up with him. Yeah, he was the one that had the remote in his hand, and it was always on a Rangers game.
Well, you who are your favorite? Trevor, there's only about 12,000 Devils fans. So the fact that both Van Riemsdyks were traitors, it doesn't help them at all. I mean, we need to mint new fans in Jersey. So I don't know how this. Your father is. Maybe we can deport him. I don't know. I don't know how Jersey works.
Tough break. Tough break, Greg. Who are your favorite Rangers then? Growing up,
I always loved watching Brian Leetch out there. He was just awesome to watch, being a defenseman, some of the things he could do, skating the puck offensively, he was great. So he was probably my favorite Ranger growing up watching.
Trevor, what are you doing on November the 1st?
I believe we'll be up in Toronto.
So that one's already been circled on the calendar, even though you're playing the Preds on Saturday?
Yeah, that one will be a pretty a special one. If I'm sure the parents will be up there, and so yeah, it'll be a pretty amazing moment, I think.
How many cool. times have you played against your brother competitively?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's been very many, if any, times where we've had to go against each other. Maybe in the driveway, in the basement, the mini six, but I think that's about the extent of going against each other.
All right, so he's coming down the wing, and you're skating back, and you're ready to take him on one-on-one. How do you take on James Van Riemsdyk?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I just gotta keep him to the outside there and don't let him burn you wide with that speed he's got. So you just kind of gotta try to close him down and try to get the puck off his stick and have him dump it in so he doesn't embarrass me.
So Leafs are playing the Hawks. Who are the parents cheering for?
Oh, wow. I guess you'll have to ask them and see who the favorite son really is.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, Merrick? Can you imagine that? Could it be like a thing where whoever wins the game gets the parents' love?
Wow. That might be what's on the line.
I remember the Primos went through that, and the parents, I'm pretty sure the parents were like, nah, we're taking the younger son. Screw Keith. We're going with Wayne Primo.
Well, yeah, maybe that'll be the case. Yeah, maybe they'll give root for me there because I'm the newer guy.
Hey, how surreal was it for you to go to Flyers camp, by the way? Because that was after JVR got traded, right? And then you went to that camp?
Yeah, that was that same summer was the summer he got traded. So, yeah, that was still a pretty fun time for me, just getting to be at those camps and to have that experience and get that experience under my belt. And they did a great job there. It wasn't too awkward or anything for me. I know that was the question of the week that I seem to be getting a lot, was how awkward must this be? And but the organization did a great job of making me feel welcome for that week at camp. And yeah, it was good to just get that experience of a pro camp and go from there.
Last question from this microphone, Trevor, and thanks for your time. What was the moment where you realized that, wow, I'm an NHLer? Or have you even really had that moment yet? Maybe you still feel you're auditioning for the spot, but have you had the moment where you say to yourself, I play in the NHL?
Yeah, I think those first couple of games, that one in Dallas and then the one at home was an incredible thing, and with our fans there. And yeah, it's been pretty surreal all along, but I don't know if it's fully sunk in yet. I think I'm still just trying to take it day by day and keep making a good impression and hopefully stick for the long term.
Yeah, you are just three games into your NHL career, but I'll ask the question anyway. It's the last one. What comes first, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, your first NHL fight or your first NHL goal?
I'd have to think goal, but who knows when that'll happen. And but yeah, I have to say a goal would probably come before a fight.
All right, sounds good. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, thanks for joining us here on the podcast. Good luck to you, sir, and good luck against your brother. I hope that you poke check and embarrass your brother when you face him. I hope it is a Trevor Van. I hope that you are like +3 with your first goal, and JVR is like a -4. That's all right. I mean, it's just one bad night for him. But we hope that it's the Trevor Van Riemsdyk show in that game.
Well, thank you.
No problem.
Good luck, Trevor. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk of the Chicago Blackhawks, who at the beginning of training camp wished, did anyone think this guy was going to make the Hawks? No.
No!
What a camp.
Yeah, the scrappy, like we talked about with Barry Trotz earlier in the week, the Liam O'Brien kind of guy. The guy who just kind of scraps his way and hustles his way and hauls ass his way onto the roster. The only thing I didn't ask him, because I didn't want to waste a question, because it's a stupid question, do you think it's TVR or do you think it's TreVR?
Well, TreVR would rhyme with JVR, but I would think I would think it would be TVR.
TVR, which is very close to DVR.
It's
which is
close.
In Canada
a
called
TV and VCR.
A PVR.
Correct.
It's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. We turn the podcast into the cultural differences between the United States and Canada again.
you guys say out.
The subtext of every podcast you and I have ever done.
You guys have a queen and we have a president. Isn't that right?
We don't
have a queen.
No.
No queen of Canada?
Prime Minister.
Oh, right.
Who's actually also a member of the Society for International Hockey Research. There we go. Thanks for the trumpet.
The question of the day, of course, was about siblings.
I had a stupid question, too, I was going to ask him. I was like, do I bother?
Well,
I was going to ask about his brother's candy cane hockey stick, if he ever makes fun of him for that.
You should have asked that.
Some guys do the tape thing, man. Okay.
Me and JVR actually bonded once when we talked about, because growing up in New Jersey, like, listen, I make no bones about the fact that I'm a terrible skater. Ice hockey was not my thing growing up. I played a lot of street hockey growing up. But we did have the shared experience of, so in central New Jersey, where Middletown and Mattawan both exist, sometimes you'd have really cold winters and sometimes you'd have not so cold winters. And so I don't know how it is in Canada. I just assume it's a frozen tundra. you had to test the ice. Did you ever have to test the ice in Canada growing up?
Yeah, man. Grenadier Pond.
Frozen? Yeah.
No. Yeah. Grenadier Pond. That was the one pond that I skated on growing up. Yeah, you always had to test the ice.
Yeah. So was what me and JVR bonded on, the whole the whole ritual of finding the heaviest piece of wood or finding some random brick that you could find sometimes in the gullies of New Jersey near the lakes of New Jersey.
This
and
is
just
gonna
chucking them on the ice.
Yeah, this is gonna sound really bad, but there was always like the youngest kid who had to go out and test the ice. True. At the time, you don't think anything of it, but now I look back and I'm like, geez, what the hell? I mean, Grenadier Pond's not that. I think it's at its deepest is probably 12 feet, but that's still enough. But yeah, I used to be Daniel McKay, I think, was the guy. He used to go out and test the ice for us.
Honey, where's Tommy? Oh, ice wasn't ready.
But you know what? It was always the kid that was just so gung-ho to play with the older kid, so he'd do anything.
Right.
Frick, he'd go in net, and we were allowed to do raisies. He didn't care.
So if he survived his death march onto the
he
ice.
He could play. Yeah.
He could play, and then he's the goalie.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Daniel would
boy,
do
child
that.
Abuse in Canada.
Well, I told you the puck story, right? The puck around the neck story? I look back
that
now, and that's probably child abuse. No, I mentioned it on the podcast once.
Go ahead.
Am I the only one that remembers this, or was mine the only generation that did this? If you were considered a puck hog on your hockey team, the coach would make you go to school the next day with a puck on a necklace, and you have to wear it around your neck for the entire day.
Wow.
Yeah. We didn't think anything of it. It was just like, oh, yeah, puck hog. Coach is embarrassing him for the day. I don't know if that would fly anymore today.
I think it would be. If it was like an anvil, yeah, you might have some problems there. But I think a puck.
No,
is
but
fine,
I mean,
right?
it was intended to shame the kid.
Right.
All
right,
kid, you don't want to pass. All right, put it on a necklace, carry it around all day long, puck hog. And that's how
puck
I mean, the kid would be ridiculed because he was puck hog.
Puck hog.
So stupid. I think about it. Even just saying it here, even just speaking that, making those sounds in this microphone, it sounds dumb.
hockey last night, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So I watched the Kings and the Blues. I was impressed with the Blues offense. I thought it was a fun little matchup, Blues versus Quick. Overall, not exactly the scintillating playoff pace that I might have expected for a game in which the Blues needed to make a statement.
Yeah.
I thought the 4-on-4 was a real kind of snoozer.
How good
the shootout. Shootout was fun only because both goalies were playing pretty well, and because Quick made a hell of a save on Tarasenko to seal the victory, one where he was looking behind him. So, I mean, that was all right. But overall, I mean, if you're the Blues, I think you skate out of L.A. feeling pretty good about life, toe-to-toe.
Let me ask you about shootout. Actually, not about shootout, but overtime. Should the NHL just say, hey, man, dry scrape takes too long? I got an email from someone who had a really cool idea. I should get my email open here. I'm going to try to find it.
That does seem to be one of the overriding narratives of the first couple weeks of the season, which is the momentum sapping of the dry scrape.
Right? It just takes everything out of the building.
It kind
of
does, doesn't it?
I can't find the email. You know, he sent it to me. It was great.
And it's so ironic because why does it exist? It exists so the play in overtime will be better, right?
How many games have gone into overtime / shootout, and how many have been actually ended in overtime? I want to say the number's like 3.
It's a great question.
I think it's like only 3 or 4, wish. But anyway, this guy sent me this email yesterday. I wish I could freaking find it so I could give the person the proper credit for it, who said, you know, the dry scrape takes too long, 2 Zambonis, whatever, they're going at snail's pace. Why don't you just get 15 kids with big shovels, and they do one sprint down the ice. Done. And it'd be a pretty cool thing to do, too. A bunch of kids out there shoveling the snow. That's all you need. Just get the snow off.
Now, will they be dressed in sexy outfits?
That's the hook. They will not be.
Sure?
No tassels, no low cut.
Well, you can forget about Philadelphia participating in such things.
Well, that's it, right? Yeah.
The fans will boo. Boo the children.
No cheeky little ice cleaners. No, that's not going to happen. 15 kids. Clean and ice.
That is totally the name for my team in the next year's reverse fantasy league. The cheeky little ice cleaners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheeky. Also, last night, the Islanders go to 4-0 on the season for the first time in 12 years.
They may
Johnny
never
Taves
lose
some Patrick
another
Kane
game
moves.
Again.
Hey, they're not bad. They're not a bad team.
When did Mike Bossy start working the broadcast? I saw him yesterday on the Islanders broadcast. Is that new?
I don't know. That might be new. This, of course, is Ken Danico's first year doing color commentary for the Devils, which is very exciting. And a save by Schneider. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
It's awesome. Someone, who was it? Someone, did you get the picture of Ken Danico talking to Phil Esposito?
Oh, I know. And they were like, that should be a photograph narrated by me.
Did you want to hear that conversation?
Oh, right.
Like, much in the way you wanted to hear Mike Murphy talking to Milan Lucic this morning or last night, did you not want to hear the conversation between Ken Danico and Phil Esposito? People, when you're watching your New Jersey games, if at any point Ken Danico is going to interview Phil Esposito, please let me know right away. I need to hear that conversation. I really do.
Couple of more things before we get to QOD and get to a game show.
Yeah.
Semyon Varlamov, wonky groin, injured reserve. Ritu Berra out for a while on injured reserve. Is it Marty time in Colorado?
Listen, Marty, I'm not sure if you know this, gentle listener. Marty really is really not a big fan of Patrick Waugh, and that goes back to Nagano in the Olympics in 1998 when Marty took his entire family. And unbeknownst to him, the deal that Patrick Waugh cut with Mark Crawford, the head coach, was, I will only play for Team Canada if I'm guaranteed to play in every single game. I don't think Marty's ever forgiven him.
Well, he's also not a very big fan of Francois Allaire, who's goalie camp
walked out of
as a teenager. And
has
dedicated his entire career to showing that his kung fu is better than the butterfly.
100%. It's funny because Berdur's name was really quick to pop up on Twitter last night when Berra went down. Well, even before that, when Varlamov went on IR, right away everyone's marrying Marty Berdur to the Colorado Avalanche. And for the deliciousness that would be that story, I just can't see it happening. I don't think that Marty Brodeur wants to end his career with Patrick Waugh calling the shots when he plays and when he doesn't play. Can you imagine Patrick Waugh pulling Marty Brodeur out of the net if he gets four pumped by him in 10 minutes? Like, that may be the first case where a goalie refuses to come to the bench. Patrick Waugh tries to pull Marty Brodeur. Good luck.
But you hit the nail on the head, which is that he'd get four by him in the first 10 minutes because Colorado will have given up 30 shots in those 10 minutes. And that's the real issue with Marty. Marty's entire career has been played with limited shots. I mean, that's what he does best. There's a lot of reasons Marty's great, but two of them are that he's a real cerebral goalie, and his mental toughness and his focus are two reasons why he's always been able to thrive. You know, he would go, 12 minutes between shots sometimes playing for the Devils. But he wouldn't miss a beat, and it takes a special kind of guy to do that. Now, the one thing I'll say about Marty in Colorado that would be kind of intriguing is the idea of him being a third defenseman and the idea of him bailing out some of those guys on D and the idea of him getting involved in the offensive flow and home run passes to guys like McKinnon skating down ice. That'd be fun.
That would be really fun. That would be fantastic. I mean, who's the best stick-handling goalie right now in the NHL, would you say?
Oof. Ben Bishop? Good question.
Ben Bishop, maybe?
Might be. He'd be up there.
Would you love to see, Ben Bishop hitting Steven Stamkos for those passes? I mean, Tampa's got a lot of good things on the go. But, again, I come back to that other point. And you know Marty a lot better than I do. For 1 second, do you think Marty Brodeur would put his career, his swan song year, his goodbye to the NHL in the hands of Patrick Waugh?
I gotta be honest with you. Listen, I know what you're saying. I tend to believe that they got a little bit closer over the years as Patrick retired, and Marty, broke all of his records and all that shit. Like, I think they actually became a little bit more cordial, let's say. But
yeah, okay.
To answer your
cordial's
question,
fine.
If you're Marty Brodeur, okay, how many shots are you getting? Let's say Varlamov's groin doesn't improve. Let's say it's a chronic thing. Mm-hmm. And they reach out to you and say, look, we need you for like 20, 25 games maybe this year because this guy's not going to be able to play. We don't have confidence in the other two guys. Like, how many other opportunities like that are you getting in this league if you're Marty?
Don't know. Yeah,
swallow that pride.
Ooh, for your swan song year?
Swallow that pride sometimes. Call him back.
Oh, I can't. I mean, it would be a delicious story. It would be a fantastic story. I just can't see it happening.
And then the other thing that happened last night we should talk about is the miraculous Christ-like resurrection of Pascal Dupuis after being put on a stretcher last night, hit by a puck, and then comes back this morning, skates on his own, and basically is gotten medical clearance to return to the lineup.
Remember we were doing a Calgary game when a similar, if not identical, thing happened to Damon Lankow, and he was out for, what, like a full year?
I mean, yeah, it was great when we started his career.
Yeah, and we saw Dupuis yesterday give the thumbs up on the stretcher, which is always great. And by the way, just once, can a player have the sense of humor to do the thumbs down when he's on the stretcher and being let out? Just once. Someone tweeted that last night. I thought it was brilliant. Like, oh, please, can someone... Just one player like, oh, I'm in a bad way here, and just give the thumbs down.
You sound like one of those people that are like, why don't the teams ever announce the surgery went badly? Like, is that really what you want? Some rain clouds?
Oh, the Philadelphia Flyers like to announce that Braden Coburn went unsuccessful surgery today. Yeah, the doctor really botched this one. Not sure how many months this is going to set him back, but we'll get back to you.
Merrick is literally watching people stretchered off the ice, waiting to see if they make the thumb across the throat move, like the Undertaker before giving the tombstone.
Not looking good. Someone call my wife. Oh, brother. But yeah, you know what? It was awesome seeing him do the thumbs up, and even better to see him on the ice today. Like, I get that, you know, listen, I have a pretty strong work ethic, too. I like to pride myself on working every single day. I really believe the Buddhist philosophy of one day no work equals one day no eat. I get that. But if anyone's going to get a free pass today to not go and skate, take the day off, you know, sleep in,
right?
Maybe do a light jog, go have a nice brunch, catch up with some friends, have a nice nap this afternoon. If anyone's going to get that free pass, isn't it going to be Pascal Dupuis today? And there he is on the ice.
He is on the ice.
Incredible.
Finally, before we get to a couple of QODs, Nashville gets the 2016 All-Star Game. I have not read a single beat writer that is not orgasmic over this.
Right?
They all love Nashville.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to Rob Ford, what's the level of debauchery in the city going to be amongst NHL people after the skills competition on Saturday?
It's going to be insane. It did get me thinking about the All-Star Game again, by the way, and like, and we haven't had one in a bit, obviously, but I love the skills competition. Like, I unabashedly, unironically love the skills competition. I don't give a shit about the game.
Yeah,
but
I'm with you.
The skills competition legitimately is one of my favorite things in hockey. Mm-hmm. So I was getting a little bit excited knowing that we're going to get one this year. I love the skills.
I love it too. I'm with you. Why not? I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Now, does
as
that
long as they do the goalie thing again, the goalie races again? I really kind of love the goalie races.
Goalie races are fun. Goalie races are indeed fun.
Oh, I hope they do something new this year. That'll be a QOD down the road. What could be the new skills competition? I want them to. It's been a while. It's time to add a little bit something to the All-Star
Invent
game.
Invent a new skills comp. Okay.
What could it be?
Well, I go back to my old standby, which player is quickest at deleting tweets.
Oh, I was going to go with beer relay.
Beer relay, yeah, that's good too.
QOD, who are your favorite hockey siblings? Greg Cole writes in, Keith and Wayne Primo. As a Flyers fan, Keith's heroics against Pittsburgh in the longest game I've ever watched helped solidify him as one of my favorites. More BF235 writes in, well, I just found out Jonathan Taves is a brother today, so I guess that's a thing. It's true. Drafted by the New York Islanders.
Right?
Yes.
That's right.
My favorite brothers, begrudgingly, are the Niedermeyers. And I'll tell you why. Not only is it sort of sweet if you take out of my angst towards Scott Niedermeyer for leaving the Devils high and dry, not as it only kind of sweet that they reunited for the sake of winning a cup, but I love the idea that, and we see the same thing actually with Trevor and James Van Riemsdyk, that one guy went one way with the career, became an amazing Hall of Fame defenseman, and the other guy went another way in his career and became a serviceable third line forward. I kind of like that. Kind of like
checking forward. He had he had an honest third line career.
He had a very good third. You're right. Honest, take a step back, deep breath, exhale, and you can be happy with the way you played if you're Robbie Whittemeyer.
Even though coming out of junior, this guy was expected to shoot the lights out. But still.
Who's your favorite brother?
The Richards.
Who?
Maurice, the Rockets, Henri, the Pocket Rockets, Richard, and the little known, because he was probably too slow, although if he was around after expansion, he totally would have been in the NHL, but man, six teams, hard to get jobs. The little known third Richard, Claude Richard. Claude. So you have the Rocket, you have the Pocket Rocket, and do you know what Claude Richard's nickname was?
What was that?
Vest Pocket Rocket.
Oof. Everybody's got to be Brent Gretzky at some point. All right.
Right? That's
right. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for a Friday favorite.
The awkward silence is my favorite moment in the podcast. Wow.
I can see Game Show Friday is all already off to a swimming start.
It's another bullet.
Chad Balcom is a guy who we were going to have on once, and then he didn't get back to me in time, and now he's on now.
How dare you.
Chad, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Where do you live?
I reside in Portland, Oregon.
Oh,
home of the Buckaroos.
Man. Home of Portlandia. Now, so how accurate is Portlandia to the Portland experience?
Well, to be honest, I haven't seen much of it, but the bits and pieces I have, it's kind of like any satire in that it's got to be based on something close, like everything the Onion does.
Right.
So they're onto something.
What is skate?
I do see Kerry Brown seen around town every once in a while.
Well, you're a lucky man. What is Skaters for Public Skate Parks?
That is a nonprofit that I've done work with over the last 10 years. Very little as of late, but it's a volunteer thing that I work with some guys just trying to get parks figured out.
And that's for boarding or what? What are we looking at
here? Yeah, for skateboards, yes.
Okay.
It's a thing where if once upon a time, the rinks were all different dimensions and nobody could figure it out. And then finally they figured out what the 200 by 85 was the deal. Skate parks have been kind of in the infancy in the last, 10, 15 years and no one was getting it right at first.
So you want to get everyone kind of uniform, all in line.
Something like that. Right. I mean, I don't know. It's a little more complicated than that because, you want them to be unique. You just want them to work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question about Portland. And I've never been there. And I've always wanted to, because I always want to go to a Winterhawks game. Mm-hmm. How much is Connie Madigan still revered in Portland? Is it still a name that gets bandied around? Because he may have been the toughest of the tough from that old pro loop out west.
They generally do a Buckaroos night a year, and they bring the guys out, and they get a lot of the guys to show up. And they announce, and Connie generally shows up, I think. But it's been so long ago, and you know what I mean. A lot of fans will know the name. You count me in on that, but we don't know much about.
It was always said that if he was in the NHL when he was playing with Portland, he would have been the toughest guy in the NHL. He was almost peerless in that old loop, in the WHL loop when it was pro. The stories of Connie Mad Dog Madigan, to the point where, he had a bit part in Slapshot as Ross Mad Dog Madigan. It's a great sort of, such a nice little touch. In the movie Slapshot, whenever I see that scene where he comes out, gives a special salute to the fans, I was like, yeah, man, that's Portland Buckaroos, Connie Mad Dog Madison right there. You better show some respect.
Yeah, they play half the Winterhawks games in the Rose Garden where the basketball team plays, and then they play the other half in Memorial Coliseum where the Buckaroos played. And in addition to all the Winterhawks banners, they do have a Buckaroos banner with their championships up that hangs up. Nice. They hung up a couple years ago.
Now, Chad, so, those coffee-swilling hippies in Seattle all believe that they deserve a team. what if Paul Allen said, I want to put a team in Portland? Could they support a National Hockey League team?
You know, there's a lot of discussion of that. I think the building is adequate. You know, it's a beautiful barn. But Paul Allen doesn't want the competition. He's a Microsoft guy, remember? You know, if there's anything they know, it's Monopoly.
Hmm. Right.
So, you know, they have the barn. I think if he had a piece of it or all of it, I think he'd probably be into it.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I prefer if they went to Seattle just because I don't want to lose junior hockey.
Ah.
Which brings us, you're a man after
a junior team and a pro team both. Listen,
you are a man after my own heart. Good
man,
for you.
Man. Valentine's are about to be written here.
That's nice.
Junior hockey is one of the reasons you're on Game Show Friday. You are a Portland Winterhawks fan. You specifically mentioned this a couple times in your application for Game Show Friday. There are some Portland Winterhawks questions in this edition. This is Game Show Friday 2.0 rules. We give you three categories for each round, and you tell us which category you'd like the question to be from. Three out of five is the goal. Three rounds victorious, and you will get a fantastic prize from producer Matt. And that's what we demand. We demand three out of five. We demand you to get that, to get the prize. Are you ready to play Game Show Friday?
I will try my best.
Just a simple yes would suffice. Chad.
Ass.
Chad. Your categories in round one, sir. Happy birthday. These are players that are having a birthday around the taping of this show. 2004 NHL draft, or... Now, I should warn you, this category was in fact written by J.J. Merrick.
Dun, 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 dun.
Name that Winterhawk.
Well, we've had this build-up. We've got to go with the Winterhawks question off the bat, right?
That's right. That's what we like. We like, we like. Put the balls on the table on Game Show Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Written by J.J. Merrick and named that Winterhawk. I was a second-team all-star defenseman in the WHL playing defense for the Hawks and part of the first U.S.-based team to win the Memorial Cup. I played on four NHL teams. Hint, they were Montreal, Toronto, Washington, and Quebec. Name that Winterhawk.
What were the NHL teams again?
Montreal, Toronto, Washington, and Quebec.
This player won the Memorial Cup, won the Calder Cup, and won the Stanley Cup.
Second team All-Star defenseman.
Okay, yeah. I would say my first hunch was Babich, but I didn't hear Vancouver in there. And he didn't win the Stanley Cup, I don't believe. Is it Gary Nyland?
Oof. The name we were looking for, J.J. Merrick, was?
John Kordick. Although Gary Nyland did play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, was a big, tough, rugged defenseman, and whose career was cut way too short because of knee injuries. I always thought him and Gord Kluzak could have been just dominating defensemen for so long. Kluzak playing with Billings in the old Western Loop as well. Yeah, John Kordick, ladies and gentlemen. He played defense in the Western League, played forward in the NHL.
But Chad, in your defense, you named a lot of Winterhawks. I'm confident that you know about the team, and that bodes well for future rounds. Round number two. Your categories are hockey pop culture, which is hockey and pop culture. Suitcase Sillinger, which is trivia about Mike Sillinger and his many travels. Or J.J. Merrick's Name That Winterhawk round two.
Yes, redemption round.
You know, what was the first category?
Hockey pop culture, suitcase Sillinger, or Name That Winterhawk.
Have I scared you off Winterhawk trivia?
No, no.
One question, Chad?
We'll take that one, too. I came in as a fan in 94, so I'm on the tail end of Sillinger anyway. I'm no good with pop culture, so I got to go with the Winterhawks one again.
You shook his faith in the span of a question, Merrick.
No, I'll take it.
Oh, he's on. Like, okay, he's back on.
It's like the Pope getting a question about Catholicism wrong, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'll take, I don't know, a Jewish trivia for round two, please. All right, Name That Winterhawk round two.
I'll take the Bhagavad Gita, please, for one.
This former Buffalo Sabre, Los Angeles King, played for the Winterhawks for two seasons. His main claim to fame was that he beat the new Westminster Bruins heavyweight champ Barry Beck in a fight.
Oh, legendary Winterhawk fight.
In the National Hockey League, he was knocked out cold by an elbow from Boston Bruins tough guy John Wensick. He is now head of the Buffalo Sabres Alumni Association. So he played for the Sabres, played for the Kings.
Defenseman.
Played for the Hawks for two seasons. Bit of a fighter. Oh, former NHL coach, Jeff Merrick?
Nope.
Oh, I'm thinking the other guy. Never was a coach in the NHL. Saber, King, Winterhawk, fighter, head of the Buffalo Sabres Alumni Association. Name that Winterhawk.
I have no idea.
Okay, let's make it easier then. A couple years ago, when Ryan Johansson was ruling the roost in the Western Hockey League, he played on a famous line with Portland. Name one of the two other players that Ryan Johansson had on his line.
Brad Ross and Anita Ryder.
You got them both. There you go. We'll give you that one. See, easy as that.
See, I'm excited that you've come around to the idea, Merrick, that sometimes Game Show Friday has to be about people that are around still.
Well, Larry Playfair is around still.
Okay with the history, but I was born in 77.
The name, me too, brother. Great year, Star Wars. Larry Playfair was the name we were looking for. Larry Playfair in that original question of America.
The athlete named.
One and one as we head to round three, Chad. Your categories are 1 year coaches. That's coaches that only coached 1 year in the National Hockey League. Defunct teams, a Game Show Friday favorite. And Cap Geek. Another Game Show Friday favorite. Hmm. One-year coaches, defunct teams, or Cap Geek?
Let's do defunct teams, please.
All right. Which one of these teams never played in the ECHL? Multiple choice. We're looking for the team that was never in the ECHL. The Atlantic City Boardwalk Bullies, the Lexington Meadow War, the Tallahassee Terror, or the Victoria Salmon Kings? Which one was never an ECHL team?
Well, I know the Salmon Kings because we had, his name is Case, we had a guy go to the Salmon Kings at one point.
All right.
I love the concept of Man of War, like the band.
Hmm.
What were the other two?
The Atlantic City Boardwalk Bullies or the Tallahassee Terror?
Boy, you can't really be the terror in this country anymore. And the Boardwalk Bullies is just ridiculous. Maybe you could have been the Terror in the past. I'm going to go with Boardwalk Bullies.
God
as
damn
never
it,
played.
Chad! It was the Terror. Oh, you had it. You overthought it. Tallahassee Terror never existed. The Atlantic City Boardwalk Bullies were a team from 1999 to 2003, played right on the boardwalk in Exhibition Hall in Atlantic City. The Tallahassee Terror was the team we were looking for.
If anybody knows anything about the boardwalk, did Dan Belisle either own that team or run that team?
I don't know.
And going back to Slapshot, he was in Slapshot as a kid.
Twitter, come to life and tell Merrick if that's the answer. Okay. Now we start reshuffling categories. You need to sweep the table to win Game Show Friday, Chad. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If you want, categories, I can freestyle.
I have another WHL one here.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Your categories are Happy Birthday, 2004 NHL Draft, and WHL Scoring Leaders History.
And that's over the course of the league. That might potentially go way back, right?
It could, or it could be someone that maybe you'd have heard of. I don't know.
Ooh, so we're either looking at Ty Ratty or John O'Grodnick is essentially what Greg Wyshynski is getting at.
I don't
Take
know.
Your pick.
This is why Game Show Friday is a game of intrigue.
Do you know your Doug Wickenheisers and Builder Legos?
All right, which way? You stick with the dub?
Yeah.
All right, WHL Scoring Leaders History. This former Pittsburgh Penguin and Vancouver Canuck holds the WHL rookie scoring record with 145 points in 1989 and 90. Penguin, Canuck, rookie scoring record, 145 points, 89-90. Name this player.
Did he play on a line with Mario Lemieux and gain most of his NHL success from this?
I'm not going to give you any
reverse clues allowed.
Well, Merrick, do you know the answer?
Is it? Did he play with the Kamloops Blazers?
That's what I was going to say. Kamloops, yeah. Memorial Cup Kamloops.
The person that I'm thinking of.
Not going to give you any clues. I'll say that he was very active deep into his career, deep into his age.
Rob Brown is the guy I'm thinking.
Because I was thinking Len Barry.
Peter Nedved.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's because he played Seattle in the Western League. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. He had a really good rookie year. I remember,
Yeah. Well, Chad, listen. They always don't go as well as they should. That's your third one wrong. That means it's impossible for you to win Game Show Friday.
Competition is, I'm okay with losses as long as they're not embarrassing. And I hopefully didn't embarrass myself.
No, you got at least one question about the thing you've dedicated your life to following correct. And then the other two you didn't get right. So
okay.
That's pretty good.
Name me the Slovak winger who should have two Selke trophies at least by now, who plays on the Chicago Blackhawks, who once suited up for the Portland Winterhawks.
No, the Marian Hossa.
Look at you all over your Portland Winterhawks trivia.
Can I just tell you that question that Merrick just asked was the example of, I'm not going to ask that easy bullshit stuff that you ask. When we talked on the phone before.
He could have phrased it as Memorial Cup winger, Cup winner or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Which current NHL team president won the Memorial Cup with the Portland Winterhawks?
Jim Benning.
He is the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks. We're looking for Cam Neely, sir, who played on that John
Collins. Oh, yeah.
Who they
immediately traded.
Listen, there's no shame in losing this. I thought you performed well. At the very least, you were entertaining. Your favorite NHL team, sir, is the Avalanche, you said, I believe?
Yeah. Yes.
Why for the Avalanche are you a fan?
Well, I grew up in Nebraska. And
oh, shit.
You know, I got into hockey right when the Nordiques were coming up, the last year of the Nordiques. And I liked, Peter Forsberg, and I liked, I didn't know the winners at the time, but I liked, Deadmarsh and Sakic. And then they moved, 5 hours from me, the team that I already liked. And I was like, well, that's cool.
So. Now, okay, how long did you live in Nebraska? Like, were you there for the Axar Ben Knights when they played there?
No. No, I'd already left at that point. I was, when I lived there, that was when the USHL was really getting established.
Okay.
I was my hometown. I was fortunate enough to see a year of Christian Hansen play.
Oh, there you go. But how did you get into hockey then, growing up in Nebraska?
That's a good question. I ended up with a lot of time on my hands as a teenager, sitting in front of the TV, and had given up on most things. And I said, maybe I'll watch some hockey, maybe a fight or something, see what it's like. And that 94 playoffs, with the Rangers Devils and Pavel Bure and all of that, I got sold.
I think
so. The single worst playoff in NHL history made you a fan. I mean, worst in the sense that it stole so much from us, the 1940 champ, jokes about the Rangers.
The Devils had to learn what it was like to get close before they could come back.
That's right, before they won three Stanley Cups. You're right. It's true.
And lost the 2001 Cup, yes.
Shut up! You shut your whore mouth!
How much did you study history in hockey history in Nebraska? Because for years, the Red Wings had their minor league team there in Omaha. And I'm pretty sure before he played in the NHL, Gordie Howe had some time in Omaha. So he did play in Nebraska.
I think he did play in Omaha, yes. When I was coming up, it was just all USHL. That was about when Lincoln got their team and Tri-City got their team. When the Flames had their team there, I was already gone. So I've never seen professional hockey in Nebraska, no.
Right. That's crazy. Well, there you go. Well, Chad, this has been enlightening, and we appreciate you coming on. I thought that you did a very admirable job, although you fell short of the ultimate prize. But that's okay. I think you did good. And thank you for listening.
I'm pretty excited about it. I don't get to listen to the show live, so I don't really have a good way to interact,
No, I feel
thanks
you.
For coming on.
Well,
dude.
We have a new subreddit. Do you know what Reddit is? Matt Brown didn't.
I know what it is. I don't partake. You know, a lot of times I'm resistant to something new. I spend enough time dicking around on the internet without an additional place to go.
That's the truth.
Amen to that.
Well, Chad, you're awesome. Thanks for playing along
dude.
With us. And do you have any plugs that you'd like to make at the end of the show here?
Before you get to plugs, Chad, what's up with the Winterhawks this year? Dude, one win?
Mm-hmm. Well, myself and Maddie were talking about this briefly, you know, a minute ago, that I certainly don't have the answers, but, you know, they're loaded up front. They have 7 NHL drafted forwards.
Yes.
And they're hurting on the back end where they lost, you know, Pouliot and Dumba from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're breaking in, I believe, 5 rookie defensemen, although a couple of them are older right now, and that's really hurting them. And that they have all of the forwards and none of the defensemen right now. I think that's a huge part of it. And then you add in that, you know, Jamie Compan has been an assistant for 17 years, hasn't been a head coach in that same, you know, for that same length of time. He's getting kind of adjusted, you know, when do I call timeout? When do I pull the goalie? You know, that kind of thing. And I think it'll settle out. I mean, the pros, you know, obviously the pro season just started. You can't sink your season when the pros just, you know, I mean, it's so early. But I am starting to be a little concerned with each passing game, but I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, they usually are. They're a perennial powerhouse in the Western League, as you well know. All right, well, listen, enjoy the Hawks next time you go and see them.
But I did want to pimp something.
Go for it.
So my Twitter is I'm at HockeyBlog, HAWKEY, and that's because I have a blog called Cell Phones and Plane Tickets that I do.
Oh yeah.
And I am half of a podcast also about the Winterhawks called Pucklandia.
Pucklandia is a great name for a podcast. I'm gonna follow you right now.
If either one of you guys know anybody that would want to, you know, come on a show sometime and tell old Junior stories, that'd be great.
Do we know anyone like that, Wish?
I think I know someone like that.
I don't.
It really all depends on
knows more about the history of the West Lake than I ever will. That's for sure.
I make it all up. You know, there's an old saying, if you're not sure of something, say it loud. That's pretty much gotten me pretty much where I'm at in my career. I am following you right now, Mr. Junior Hockey. There we go.
Yeah, and our podcast account is at Pucklandia.
Pucklandia. All right.
Nice.
Beautiful thing. All right, dude.
Sir. Thanks for joining us, and we will stay in touch.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. You guys are my favorite show out there.
Appreciate it. Good luck with your podcast, too, bud.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mark.
Chad was cool.
Nebraska is where he fell in love with hockey. And Portland,
it's a classic story. It's a classic story.
It's like a real Ray Sheralger tale.
Here you go. You know why that the Flames minor league team was called the Aksarben Knights?
I assume they were named after some sort of alien from the Green Lantern comics.
If by that you mean that's Nebraska backwards, yes, you're correct.
Shut up. Really?
Aksarben, yeah.
Wow. This is like the moment in Troll 2 when you realize the town they're in called Nilbog is actually Goblin spelled backwards.
Da-da-da-da.
All right. Well, that's the show. What do you have coming up this weekend, sir?
Oh, I'm very busy. And I love Saturdays because I get to broadcast in the NHL Network stateside, and I get the coolest tweets and the coolest snark. So the Hockey Net in Canada preview show that I'll be hosting tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, on Sportsnet 360 in Canada on the NHL Network stateside. So hope you can tune in and make fun of my hipster hair. That seems to get the most comments. As Marshall McLuhan once said, if you say something on radio, people will talk about what you said. If you say the same thing on television, they'll talk about the color of your tie. Look forward to that tomorrow. What do you got?
I'm hopefully going to be writing this piece on Mitch Korn, the Caps goalie coach that I've been trying to write for the last couple of weeks, but just haven't had the time to do
it. Did you ever – I kind of wanted to ask our guest yesterday, Barry Trotz, about this because Barry Trotz and Olaf Kolzig for years were together with the Baltimore Skipjacks and were real good friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty tight.
Yeah.
So Barry takes over in Washington – and one of the first moves is Ole's out and he brings in Mitch Korn from Nashville.
Right.
That must have been an awkward conversation.
Well, I mean, maybe, but I mean, you know, let's be honest here. I mean, Kolzig ruined Holtby last year. It's pretty easy when you know. Well, I mean, okay. Adam Oates also ruined Holtby, but yeah. You have the best, arguably the best goalie coach in the league.
Korn is awesome. He really is great.
Yeah. So hopefully that
100%.
And also, I'm gonna. Oh, so from a non-hockey perspective, going to see Birdman tonight. Excited about that.
What's Birdman coming out?
It's sort of
about
a meta,
Charlie Parker.
It's like a meta movie in which Michael Keaton plays a character who is desperately trying to escape his past as a guy who played an iconic superhero. It's a very meta sort of film. Yeah.
Okay. Going back to the beginning of this podcast, when we tried to figure out exactly how far back I am in culture, what year do you think I'll actually get around to watching this movie?
Oh, well, you might see it if it wins the Oscar, and it's gotten a lot of buzz.
No guarantees.
And then this weekend, so Saturday night, so the Paley Fest is happening here in New York, which is this series of like panels that they have that about TV and stuff. And so Saturday night is the Gotham panel for a show that I've seen two episodes of and need to binge watch the rest before I go to this panel. Sunday is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, and I'm very excited about that because I know many of you maybe have dabbled in that show in the past, found it to be boring and terrible, and it was, and then it got good, and now this season it's been great. I highly encourage anybody who gave up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to watch it. So I'm very excited about that panel to hear all about how they turned a giant steaming pile of shit into something that's very compelling on a weekly basis.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you got a big weekend ahead.
Oh, yeah. Sitting in here and see people on TV talk is really... Well, I mean, I do that every day. I sit and listen to somebody on TV talk.
I was just going to say, we kind of all do that every night. Greg, this really isn't anything new. It's so funny. It was like what a scant like 20 minutes ago. You're asking rhetorically whether Milan Lucic is self-aware, and then you say, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna watch people talk on TV." The novelty of that. You do that every night, numbskull.
Mr. Merrick, are you ever worried the cameras are gonna steal your soul? Gee, Mr. Merrick.
Funny.
TV must be a swell. All right, everybody. Next week we shall see you again. Thanks to Maddie. Thanks to Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Thanks to Chad. And subreddit. Ask us questions. We'll pop in here and there and answer them and stuff.
And someone set up an AMA for this little poodle here who doesn't know how to do anything. Yeah.
Jeffy dog.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you soon. Bye.